All right, good morning. If you would, turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, as we get back into our one another series, Living as the Church, we spent a couple of weeks trying to set a foundation, trying to set the foundation of the fact that if our relationship with God is not right, loving the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind, then the one another passages we're going to look at are never going to work properly. Then we talked last week about the fact that Jesus goes on and in dealing with that Pharisee who asked the question about the greatest commandment, he gave him bonus material. He said, not only is this the greatest commandment, but let me give you the second greatest. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And we talked a lot last week about what all of that means. And as we think about that this morning, I want to think of how do we overcome the opposition? And I put it that way because that's the way Paul is going to put it in Galatians chapter 5. You see, we hear messages preached like, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And when we as Christians think about that, what's the reaction to that? Sounds like a good idea, doesn't it? We'll sit in church and I'll sit in my study and say, that's what I want. That is what I want for my life. And then Jesus goes on and says, you know what? I want you to love your neighbor as yourself. And I look at that and I think, whether it makes sense to me or not, it makes sense to me. You know, it sounds like that's a great idea. God knows, and he always does. He knows what he's doing. And so I look and say, well, I need to love the Lord my God. Not just love him, but love him with everything I am, with my entire being. I need to love other people like I already love myself, and I want to do that, and I intend to do that, and I have great aspirations for what that's going to look like during the week. But can I ask you, did you do that perfectly this week? Did you love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind? I wanted to. I'm aspiring to that. I'm trying to be in tune with the Spirit of God, and we're going to talk about that this morning. But and then you look at your neighbors. Did you love all your neighbors as you love yourself this week? Are those bars set a little bit high? And why are those bars so difficult for us to attain? Well, there's opposition. Look at Galatians 5, and we read this morning. But verse 17 is an interesting verse when we think about where we're headed with all of this one another passage studying throughout the New Testament. It says in verse 17, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. There's opposition. I have this nature, this corrupt nature, this nature that wants to satisfy itself. Is it any wonder that Jesus Christ said, love your neighbor as you love yourself? And at the other hand, on the other side, if I'm a child of God, and we're going to talk about that from Galatians in just a moment, if I'm a child of God, I have the Spirit of God living within me. And the Spirit of God, as Ben just sang, is trying to teach us, Father, help me do your will, not mine. And so when the Spirit of God moves in, when we accept Christ, when we become one of his, when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, what happens to that old sinful nature? It just moves out and down the road and finds somebody else, right? Wouldn't that be nice if that's the way it worked? Because now the Spirit of God is guiding and directing, and that old nature just said, the gig's up here, I'm going to go somewhere else. And it goes somewhere else. But is that the way your life works? And all of this information that we're going to look at as we look at these one another passages involves relationships. How I relate with other people around me. This one, and actually the words in this passage, if you look at chapter 5, verse 17, it says, for these are opposed to each other. You know, that's the same one another word we're going to find when we look at how we're supposed to treat one another. But there's a relationship going on inside us. Is it a good one? Is it a fun relationship to deal with? Do you like dealing with the sinful nature on one hand and the Spirit on the other? You know, and we think about those old day cartoons from old days back when you've got the little angel sitting on one shoulder and the devil sitting on the other, and they're arguing over what you're going to do, and your mind is engaged with some of that. Well, there's a little bit of truth to that. I mean, that's not exactly the way it pictures and works, but within me there's this nature that wants to do my own thing, and then there's the Spirit of God, and Paul says there's opposition. They're opposed one to the other. They're working against each other. So where do we get the victory, and how do we translate that into what does it mean then to use these one another passages and to overcome in our own lives? We're going to look at that beginning in chapter 1 of verse 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 is the place we really have to begin, which we get the foundation once again for where we're going. Galatians 5, 1, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand therefore and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Paul's going right back in Galatians 5, 1 to where we went when we said we need to love the Lord our God with all our hearts. You've got to have a right relationship with God. And when Paul says, for freedom, Christ has set us free, he's talking about your salvation experience. Now, he'd been talking about the law, and we're not going to go into all of the intricacies of Galatians. It's a great book. But for just the purposes this morning, we look and Paul says, you're not under the law. Christ sets you free from the penalty and the power and all that's there in the law. He sets you free so you can live for God, so that you can live under the power of Spirit, the Spirit. And for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand therefore. And do not submit again to that idea that you have to be under the law in order to please God. You are under the blood. And so he's talking about all of these things at the beginning of this, but you've got to ask yourself, is that where I am? You've got to go back to Romans chapter 1 through 11, and I'm not going to go all the way back there again, but you've got to ask yourself, have I seen myself as a sinner under God's wrath? Have I realized, Romans chapter 3, that there is nothing good in me? There's no righteousness, and that no one seeks after God. Have I looked at the fact that God demonstrated his love to me and that while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me? Have I put my faith in Jesus Christ and his shed blood for the forgiveness of my sin and a right relationship with God? And I ask that because that's where Paul starts. That's what he's assuming in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. And if you haven't arrived there, and I know there are some that would take umbrage with this, but can I tell you that all these one another passages aren't going to do you a bit of good? This is not a book of moral teachings to help you be a better person. And some people look at it that way. Now, are there good, solid moral teachings in this book? But is that why God gave it? God gave you this book to reveal himself, to reveal his will. God's will for his children is that we be like Christ. All of these one another passages are going to teach us what it means to be like Jesus Christ. In fact, next week we're going to look very briefly at what does it mean to think like Christ as we get into some of those one another passages. But you could take these one another admonitions and you could make a book of here are good moral truths that we have to have in our lives. And you could try to live out those things. But that's not what Paul's idea is when he goes into the one another passages. Paul's idea is there's a Spirit of God within you who is moving you toward doing what you ought to do in Jesus Christ. And here's what it looks like. The one another passages are in our relationships with each other a way of teaching us what does it look like for us to be Christ-like, for God to be in control, for us to do his will instead of our will. And so we've got to start there. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Paul put it this way. Yet we know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. Not that all the one another passages are all of the works of the law, but can you treat the one another passages like the works of the law as a Christian? Now, here are the things I need to do, and we're going to talk about them in a minute. And you can have your checklist. And okay, I'm not real good at being forgiving to one another, so that's what I'm going to work on this year or this week. Or I'm having trouble with this, be ye kind one to another. So I'm going to work on that. And we can work on that and work on our lives and try to make ourselves better, but that's not exactly the way it's supposed to plug in. And Paul's about to deal with that, but he starts with the fact of if you don't have the Spirit of God in you already, if you haven't come to Christ as a sinner, justified by him, the rest of this isn't going to work for you the way that God intends for it to work as we deal with one another. So you've got to have a right relationship with God. You've got to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. You've also got to have a right perspective on Christian living. And he goes on to say that in verse 13 where we started our reading this morning. Chapter 5, verse 13. Paul says, for you are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. So here's Paul getting ready. He's driving toward verse 17. The flesh is against the spirit, and the spirit's against the flesh, and they're opposed one to another. But his perspective here is, you were called to freedom, only be responsible with the way you use that freedom. Your freedom is to allow you to let go of yourself and to serve and love others. And you've been empowered to do that by the Spirit of God who's now living within you. So be careful how you use that freedom. And again, as he talks about here, only use not your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. What does he mean by flesh? Well, he says, don't use that opportunity, your freedom, to, as he puts it here, an opportunity for the flesh. That idea of flesh is that self-regarding element in our nature that's been corrupted with its appetites and its propensities. And if it's left unchecked, we end up like verse 19. And I looked at that verse, and Jordan even said something to me before, oh, we're going to do this responsibly this morning, huh? And I almost didn't. Because when you're reading through Galatians chapter 5, and you get to verse 19, and you start reading, now the works of the flesh are evident, and we list them. Did any of you feel the least bit uncomfortable listing some of those things? I thought about, you know, those things, they make me feel a little bit dirty. They don't make me feel warm and fuzzy. And I read sexual immorality and impurity and sensuality and idolatry and sorcery, enmity and strife and jealousy and fits of anger and rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envying, drunkenness, orgies, and things like all these. There's a lot more that he could have listed and didn't. But Paul's basically looking and saying, you know, left to that natural desire of ourselves, this is where we would end up. And Paul's saying, don't as a Christian think your freedom allows you to do any of these things, because it's not why you were saved. You were saved to love one another, and we spent a lot of time talking about loving our neighbors as ourselves last week, so I'm not going to go into that in depth, but the way Paul puts it here is an interesting phrase as well. He says, but through love, serve one another. If you missed on Wednesday night, you'll miss a little bit of the implication of this, because when I read that, suddenly light bulbs started going out. You remember what Paul said in Philippians chapter 1 when we started that series this week? Well, he said, Paul and Timothy, servants. Servants of Christ Jesus. It's the same word, only in noun form, when we are in verb form, and we look here and it says right here, we should, by love, should serve one another. Bond servants of Jesus Christ, doing what he wants us to do in the lives of other people, not necessarily what we want to do. And so Paul's kind of looking at this whole thing and he's saying, you know what? And we could look at Romans again, Romans chapter 6. Either you're going to be a servant of sin unto death or of obedience to righteousness, but you're going to be a servant. Now, we're Americans. Anybody kind of grate under that a little bit? I don't want to be a servant of anybody. But Paul, Jesus Christ, they look and they say, you are going to serve. You're either going to serve sin or you're going to serve God. And Paul's even looking here at this verse in verse 14, and he's kind of saying, if you have to serve, if you have to be in slavery, let's do it in practical love for one another. Let's do it under the auspices of the Spirit of God and where he's moving us and what he wants us to do. So this right perspective on Christian living, our liberty, and the liberty of the gospel isn't and wasn't given to us to be exercised in isolation. Now, I say that because we're headed toward one another passages. And if you're going to do things with one another, you're going to have to be with one another. And again, I look at some of the stuff that I'm supposed to do. I love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Couldn't I do that easier if, you know, I could? I would love to get a cabin somewhere way up in, maybe not this time of the year in the Rockies with all the snow, but somewhere off in the wilderness where I can be warm in the winter and cool in the summer and just be there with my Bible and praying and meditating and love God with all my heart and soul and mind. Is that God's design for who we ought to be? Now, he said, you've got to do this in connection with one another. And there's no way to do that if we're not with one another. And so he sets up all of these one another things. And as he sets them up, he realizes, what's the problem when we're with one another? Is life always good with one another? Do you enjoy being together? I love being with the people of God. I love being with my friends. I love getting together with family. And if they would only realize that I'm always right, we'd always get along. But does everybody realize that you're always right yet? I said, yeah, because they're going to come to that conclusion eventually that you're right, aren't they? But you look at all these one another's, and what happens when we get together with one another? Is there ever any strife? Is there ever any friction? Anybody ever rub you the wrong way? And here Paul says here, love your neighbor as yourself, but in the reality of that, realize there's a battle going on. Look at starting in verse 14. He says there, fulfill the whole law in one word, love your neighbor as yourself. But verse 15, but if you bite and devour one another, and watch out that you're not consumed by one another. How did we get there? How did we get from, you're free, so serve God? How did we get from that to love your neighbor? Love God, love your neighbor. But the reality is verse 15, but if you bite and devour one another, does that ever happen in the church of Jesus Christ? Biting and devouring one another? And as Paul looks at it, he says, you know, be careful. Was there friction going on in the Galatian church at this point? You know, you had this whole Jewish thing and how it fits in with the new Christian thing, and people had all kinds of ideas. And Paul's saying, you know, don't be attacking one another constantly. Don't be biting and devouring one another. And it's interesting, the language Paul uses here suggests a pack of wild animals preying on one another. Like if the pack keeps picking at each other, what happens? One day there is no pack left. And as I look at this, I say, well, what is God trying to teach us about the reality of this battle? Because Paul just jumps right in from love your neighbor to, but if you bite and devour one another. So what is he assuming? He's assuming there's going to be friction sometimes when we're together one with another. And that's why he's going to teach so many of these principles about one another living and what it means. But here he says in verse 16, but I say, as I'm looking at the potential of this biting and devouring and consuming one another, I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You have to ask yourself, with this battle going on, and the battle's going on within us, between my flesh and the Spirit of God, what is at stake really? What's at stake if I just don't feel like fighting the battle today? What's at stake if I just give in and let the flesh have its way today? Because if I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and to cleanse me of all my righteousness tomorrow. So what is really at stake? And as Paul looks at this, he's going to tell us this is what's at stake. Number one, he says, walk by the Spirit. And that word walk that he uses there is a very interesting word. It talks about not only where we're going, but both direction and empowerment. He's saying, be empowered by the Spirit. So going back to our cartoon illustration, Paul's saying, you know, if you've got the Spirit on one shoulder and the flesh on the other shoulder, what are you supposed to do? Flick off the flesh and listen to the Spirit. Let the Spirit guide and control you in your life. Walk by the Spirit. And to walk by the Spirit means the Spirit is going to give us help with our decisions and our choices and our guidance in what we do. To walk by the Spirit talks about a pattern and a conduct of life. How do we know what the Spirit wants us to do? Lots of things have changed over the years. You know, I thought about that. I don't remember who I was talking to this week. Maybe it was my wife. We were talking about how old I'm getting. You know, and how things have changed so much. Something came up, and I think we looked at something that said something about the 1970s, and I'm like, that just doesn't seem like it should be that long ago. And these guys are looking at me like, what, I wasn't even born then. What do you mean that wasn't that long ago? You know, and I thought, well, you know, did you think about what's changed in my lifetime? What about phones? Have phones changed in your lifetime? Now, you guys can shut this off. Have phones changed in the rest of y'all lifetime? Yeah. Did any of you remember the party phones? I remember going to my grandfather's house, and you had to pick up the rotary dial. It would be great to take some of these guys and leave them in there with a clock with hands on it, an analog clock and a rotary phone, and see if they starved to death or not, or if they could find food. You know, but I remember picking that up, and you had to listen to see if somebody else was on the line. And if Gertrude down the road was on your party line, you were supposed to hang up and wait till she was done and try again. You know, some people, you could hear the click, and you say, okay, Ralph, get off the phone. I hear you on there. You don't need to be listening to my conversation. And then we went to private line phones. Now I could pick up the phone, and there was always a dial tone. But what was the problem with that? It had a cord attached, so I couldn't go very far. And I watch my oldest son, and I think if my oldest son ever had an old-fashioned phone, he'd hang himself. Because he paces with his phone. He drives me crazy. He calls with these video calls to his mom. And then he walks around the house. And I'm seeing the ceiling fan, and I'm seeing the floor, and I'm getting sick and dizzy. But he's all over the place. I was like, if you tried that in my day, you'd hang yourself with the cord. And then we got these long-corded phones. And weren't they wonderful? You could go to the other room, and still, but you were still attached to the wall. You know, and now we've got our cell phones. I remember when cell phones came out. I remember, and this was as early as late 90s, early 2000s. I didn't want one. I liked the phone being attached to the wall. If you wanted to get me, leave. I had an answering machine. I had that high technology. I had an answering machine on my phone on the wall, and you could call and leave a message, and I'd get back to you at my convenience. But I'm watching all these people, and they were flip phones back there. A few of you might even have one of those dinosaurs still. They're getting rid of them. You're not going to be able to keep them. But, you know, and they walk around with their phones, and it would ring, and it would interrupt them every time, and they'd stop everything they're doing, and they'd look at that flip phone and find out who was calling. And now we've got video on those phones. And now we've got pictures. And now we've got Facebook on those phones. Now we live up. We run into bridge abutments because we're walking along and we're watching our phone and we're reading and we're watching and we're interacting with the phones. But the problem becomes sometimes that's the way we expect God to communicate with us. Everybody else does. So God, if you want to do something, send me a text. Wouldn't it be nice that we laugh, but I think sometimes, you know, God, I'm not sure what to do here. Wouldn't it be nice to get a text? Do this. How does he speak to us? The Spirit of God is in our hearts. What does the Spirit of God use? He uses the Word. And the whole thing is, you want God to speak to you? Get in the book. Let the Spirit of God use what's in this book. And it's dangerous when you don't. I remember I had a friend when I think I was going through grad school at the time. I don't remember the exact timing, but I'd grown up with him in high school. And he wasn't always very responsible with his money. And I remember he was going through grad school and he was paying for it himself. And I can't remember if he had just gotten married or he was planning to get married. And he had very little money and he had an old car. And somehow he drove by a dealership and he saw a new truck on that dealership's lot. And the guy had no money. And he drove on the lot and he talked to the guy. And he drove by later and he showed me his brand new truck. And I thought, what did you do? And he's like, I don't know if I can still stay in school because I'm having trouble paying my tuition. And I'm getting married and I don't know where we're going to live yet. And I don't know how I'm going to survive. But I got a brand new truck. And I looked at him. I said, what were you thinking? And he goes, oh, no, you don't understand. I prayed about it. And I had peace. So I signed the paperwork. The problem was, the peace didn't come from here with the Spirit of God working in his heart. In fact, I would venture to say it was probably the flesh side that said, you really need that truck. And he goes, it was a beautiful truck. And I tried not to envy because that's in those things that do and do, don't do. But I looked at it and thought, but that didn't come from here. And a lot of times in our lives we say, well, God's not speaking to me. When was the last time we were in the book? Because that's what the Spirit of God uses is he works in our hearts and brings this to mind and brings these things to remembrance. Jesus Christ said that's the way he would work. So if we want God to be speaking to us, the reality of the battle is, what's it say? We need to be in the book because the Holy Spirit's going to use those things to help us to do what we need to do. Now look what he says about the Spirit. He says, walk in the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. That first thing, their walk, it's a command. He says, live your life in the power and through the Spirit. This is how you need to do it. You need to be in the Word, listening to the Spirit, doing what God tells you to do. And then oftentimes, we treat the second part of that like it's a command as well. And do not gratify the lust of the flesh. And that'll preach. You can preach a powerful sermon on walk in the Spirit, but don't gratify your flesh. But you know what that verse really says? Look at it again. It says, walk by the Spirit, and the rest of it's a promise. And you will not gratify the lust of the flesh. You're struggling and you want to get victory? Get back into this book. Pray that God by his Spirit will empower you and give you the fulfillment and fill you that you might be obedient to this book and bring these things back to your remembrance and lead and guide you in that way. And he says it works. But too many of us, you know the problem with your cell phone? They all run on batteries. What happens when the battery runs out? Some of you are distraught. Your whole life is over, so you get it charged back up. You can't communicate anymore. You ever sit with some of these guys? Some of these college students? I'm going to pick on them for a minute. They are my friends. Well, they used to be my friends anyway. But as adults, we do the same thing now sometimes. But several of them come over to my house on Sundays. And I get chuckling at it for a while because sometimes they'll actually talk together. Like you and I, face to face. But you know what they normally do? They're on their phones. And I can't prove it, but I'm pretty sure they're texting each other on their phones while they're sitting in the same room. And if they don't have that phone, they don't know what to do. They're not plugged in. Well, if you want to use that as your illustration, then get plugged in so the Spirit of God can speak to you. Have Him speak to you so He can show you what you need to do, where you need to go. And if you're not plugged in, if the battery's not operating, then don't expect Him to be leading and guiding like He ought to be leading and guiding. But it's crucial, because what is at stake is, are we going to please God? Or are we going to live in the flesh? It's a huge decision that we have to make. And Paul goes on to tell us why it's such a huge decision. The desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. That's never going to change. In some ways, isn't that a little bit discouraging? Wouldn't it be nice if there was a second blessing or a special power that you could plug into as a Christian, and suddenly the flesh just was totally out of juice? There's no power there for it anymore. And you could do what's right because that's the only thing flowing through you. You know what that's called? It's called glorification in heaven. It's coming. But it's not here yet. And as long as we're here, we're going to have this struggle. And Paul lists all of these acts of the flesh. In fact, it's a precursor to some of the one another statements. You know there's negative one another statements? There are statements in the scripture where Paul is going to tell us, do not do these things. Or James is going to tell us, do not do these things. A couple of these things. He says, don't pass judgment on one another, Romans 14. Don't be biting, devouring, and consuming one another, the passage we were just in. Don't be provoking one another or envying one another at the end of Galatians 5. Don't be lying to one another. Don't speak evil or slander one another. Don't grumble against one another. That ever happened in your life? We're going to get there, so I won't even preach that now. But I look at those things and I say, are those things possible in our lives? Sure they are, if we don't have the Spirit moving. But then, look at verse 22 of Galatians 5. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. How do you know if those fruit are at work in your life? How do you know if you have patience? How do you know if you have faithfulness to what God's telling you? And goodness and self-control. So many of these things come out when we're with one another. John even tells us in 1 John, you can't say you love God if you don't love your brother, because if you hate your brother who you have seen, how can you say you love God who you haven't? And so all of these things are going to come out in our one another passages, and some of those things we're going to look at. The positive aspects of love, love one another with brotherly affection, Romans 12. Honor one another. Live in harmony with one another. Welcome one another. Instruct one another. Greet one another. Share with one another. Care for one another. Serve one another. Bear one another's burdens. Bearing with one another, which is a lot different than bearing their burdens. Bearing with one another because of who we are in Christ. Submitting to one another. Counting others more significant than yourselves. We're going to start in that as we get into the one another's next week. Because is that as easy as it sounds? You think, I can do that. Try to put that in practice all week. Everybody's more significant than I am. That means my time goes to whom? Other people. But it's not their time, it's mine. Or is it? So we look at all these one another things, praying for one another, encouraging one another, showing hospitality to one another. And one thing's clear from these two lists. You've got the don't do's and the do do's, and the don't do's are the things that can be motivated by the flesh, and the things we are supposed to do, the things that are motivated by the Spirit. And the thing that becomes very clear is that the fruit of the Spirit, practicing that with the one another thing commands that are given to us, build up the body of the church and lead to one mindedness and unity. God gave us these one another passages so that we would be in harmony with one another, so that we'd be in unity, so that the world would see the love of Christ in action as we work with one another. Are they always easy to do? And the flip side of that is a church that's reflecting the acts of the sinful nature, the things that we're not supposed to do, is carnal, and practicing those one another's that we shouldn't be practicing keep the church in a state of worldliness and disunity. Ever have anybody look at you and say, you know what, I don't go to church anymore because there are a bunch of hypocrites at church? It's a sad excuse for not being at church, but did we have a part in that excuse sometime by how we did or didn't demonstrate the one another's? And so Paul is looking and he's saying, you know, there's a great battle going and there's a lot at stake. The testimony of Jesus Christ is at stake. The unity of the church is at stake. The glory of God in my life is at stake with what happens with this battle inside of me between the sinful nature and the spirit. And what I do with all of these one and others that Paul is going to be going through, that we're going to go over. And as we go through that, he finishes his idea here. We're going to finish our idea here with this morning with verses 25 and 26. It says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep step with the Spirit. Let us not be conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Paul finishes up saying, let's keep in step with the Spirit. And that's a really interesting word. So if we live by the Spirit, what he's talking about in verse 25 is the same thing he was talking about earlier in verse 16, where he said, walk in the Spirit. If we are children of God, if we have come to Christ and we have been given the Spirit of God and he lives within us, if we live by the Spirit, and some of your translations may even say, then let us walk with the Spirit. And I like what they did with this, because walking is a legitimate translation of the word, but the word that technically means it and literally means keep in step with. It's the idea, you ever seen those military columns on parade? And they're kicking their feet up and they're snapping their heels down and they're all in step. What would happen if one guy decided he had a better way of doing it? If he changed the cadence just a little bit because he wanted to be an individual, he wouldn't be in that unit for very long. Because by keeping in step, they move forward and it's such an impressive thing. And they're getting done what they're supposed to be getting done. And Paul looks here and he says, if we claim to be Jesus Christ, then... And the idea that's in this verb here of keeping in step is Paul is urging us almost in a command way again, then keep in step with the Spirit. Listen to the Spirit in your life. Learn what we're supposed to do in these one and others with each other and put them into practice so that we can glorify God with our lives, so that we can be what we ought to be. And then verse 26, we're going to catch some of those things next week, so we're not going to look at them now, but he's going to say, but you can't get yourself all plugged up in it. Don't be conceited. Don't be provoking other people. You've got to have Jesus Christ, loving God and loving Christ and loving your neighbor first. So what's our conclusion to all this stuff? If we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. What's my responsibility? How can we become a mature body of believers reflecting the fruit of the Spirit on a regular basis? And the answer is clear from what we looked at in Scripture. We must live by the Spirit and keep in step with Him. To do this, we're going to have to practice the one another exhortations that build up the body and keep things from being torn down so that we're not biting and devouring one another. We're going to have to obey God's word. And there's no place in it for if you feel like it, if it's convenient, if it fits your personality. We can't look at these one another things and say, oh, that's great for so-and-so because hospitality, you know, that's their gift. But, you know, I'm just kind of more of an introvert and I'd rather stay at home by myself. It wasn't given that way. You know, or bearing with one another in love. Well, some people are just a lot more patient. I got a short fuse. Well, there's a list on the other side that we looked at about what happens with the flesh that really says what that short fuse is. We can't give ourselves excuses. We need to go into this saying, Lord, I want to love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. I want to love my neighbor as myself, which means I want to be in tune to your Spirit. I want to be in this book, and God, may the Spirit of God control my life and bring this book into mind so that my whole thought and processes and actions flow through this book before they come out.
before they come out my hands and feet and my mouth. May Jesus Christ and the Spirit of His Spirit be in control of my life. And that's the essence of what it takes. So as we get into this study, I've been praying, God, show me where I'm not living like these one another admonitions tell me I need to live. Are you willing to do that this week? I can't do that for you. I can try and preach for everything I'm worth. I could tell you how God's working in my life. I could tell you that God needs to work in my life. But He needs to work in each of our lives. And you look around, and I do look around, and I'm a little bit nervous preaching through some of this because in some ways, we have a great, solid congregation and body here. We have people who love each other, who care for each other. We aren't perfect. We can be more like Jesus Christ. And even those that are doing so well, can you pray this week, God, show me how I can be more like Jesus Christ through the power of your Spirit, using the power of your word, to change my life away from me and being closer to you. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for these passages that we're going to get into in the coming weeks. Lord, I thank you for the foundation that Jesus Christ laid in Matthew, that Paul has laid in Galatians, and that Paul's going to further lay in so many of his books, but especially in Philippians chapter 2, as we take a brief look at that next week. God, I pray that you'll work in our hearts by your Spirit. May we walk in the Spirit. May we keep in step with the Spirit this week. May we keep in your word, that your Spirit may take the things that we're learning and that we're reading and that we're applying to our hearts and lives and use them on a day-to-day basis to help us be what we ought to be in Christ. And Lord, I pray that we might exemplify Christ as we learn what it means to live with one another in a way that you might be glorified. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.